The Scapegoat by Paul Laurence Dunbar. 1. The law is usually supposed to be a stern mistress, not to be lightly wooed and yielding only to the most ardent pursuit. But even law, like love, sits more easily on some natures than on others. This was the case with Mr. Robinson Asbury. Mr. Asbury had started life as a bootblack in the growing town of Cadgers. From this he had risen one step and become porter and messenger in a barber shop. This rise fired his ambition, and he was not content until he had learned to use the shears and the razor and had a chair of his own. From this, and a man of Robinson's temperament, it was only a step to a shop of his own, and he placed it where it would do the most good. Fully one half of the population of Cadgers was composed of Negroes, and with their usual tendency to colonize, a tendency encouraged, and in fact compelled, by circumstances they had gathered into one part of the town. Here in alleys and streets as dirty and hardly wider, they thronged like ants. It was in this place that Mr. Asbury set up his shop, and he won the hearts of his prospective customers by putting up the significant sign, Equal Rights Barber Shop. This legend was quite unnecessary, because there was only one race about to patronize the place. But it was a delicate sop to the people's vanity, and it served its purpose. Asbury came to be known as a clever fellow, and his business grew. The shop really became a sort of club, and on Saturday nights especially was the gathering place of the men of the whole Negro quarter. He kept the illustrated and race journals there, and those who cared neither to talk nor listen to someone else might see pictured the doings of high society in very short skirts, or read in the Negro papers how Miss Boston had entertained a Miss Bluford to tea on such and such an afternoon. Also he kept the policy returns, which was wise, if not moral. It was his wisdom, rather more than his morality, that made the party managers after a while cast their glances toward him as a man who might be useful to their interests. It would be well to have a man, a shrewd, powerful man, down in that part of the town who could carry his people's vote in his vest pocket, and who at any time its delivery might be needed, could hand it over without hesitation. Asbury seemed that man, and they settled upon him. They gave him money, and they gave him power and patronage. He took it all silently, and he carried out his bargain faithfully. His hands and his lips alike closed tightly when there was anything within them. It was not long before he found himself the big Negro of the district, and of necessity, of the town. The time came when, at a crucial moment, the manager saw that they had not reckoned without their host in choosing this barber of the black district as the leader of his people.